Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 324th episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for more than 28 years. I'm Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell.
We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. For this program, going into the summer season and the end of year break, we thought we'd have another look at one of those background wallpaper issues of our time. This time, how people have become seriously detached from the physical and social world around them, as they are perpetually immersed in their mobile phones. You see them everywhere, people staring at screens and with earplugs viewing or listening to something coming from somewhere else than the place they're in, including as they're walking on our streets and roads and often in quite dangerous places.
Yeah, like when crossing the road, for example, which we'll come back to. I was really made aware of this just before COVID when I was working in the city. And on the really crowded streets at the time, people were constantly walking straight at me as if I was a ghost. They could walk straight through. It was very strange. And I was continually stepping aside to avoid collisions. And often the person glued into their phone was unaware of the near miss. But when they were, there was really no acknowledgement or even apology. Just a sort of brief flicker of recognition before going back to their mobile while walking into the surging crowd of the footpath.
Yeah, and as for me, in 2018, we published an issue on social media and their impact on people, individuals and collectives in the new community, which is our community development journal. I titled the editorial a little bit sarcastically, and I quoted, "Is it Zuckerberg's meta community we're talking about in this journal? The promises and predicaments of the social media." And quoting myself, I spelled out my concerns about what the intensification and omnipresence of people's electronic media use was doing to them, to their relationships, to their sense of place and time, to their sense of reality, and to their understanding of their place in this partly virtual, partly real reality they have now been growing into gradually.
And helping growing it, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
And in that article you talked about the distortion of people's sense of place and time, but you also broadened this out to talk about what people's use of electronic media is doing to people's relationships with each other.
That's right, to continue to quote, "Ever since my own life world became saturated with electronic media, and including, of course, my own use of them, and since I started to make connections between people's loss of sociality, the effects of a deepening sense of isolation and diminishing attention for real relationships, spreading loneliness around all age groups." And I went on to talk about what this all means for what we refer to as community development or the development of community.
Yeah, and as for awareness of one's own body in place, in space, which I've been thinking of for a few years now, that's our main focus for this program. So when I was in my 20s, I used to notice certain gender differences around that, the consciousness of your body in space, especially in social situations, though I didn't really notice the gender difference so much now. But a common term that refers to this is, just to give an example, manspreading. So taking up a lot of available space without realising it. and with other people around. So I would also notice how women would monitor their own positioning, trying not to take up too much space. So I'm talking back to when I was in my 20s. So women trying not to take up too much space, always looking around, or trying not to exclude someone from a conversation by turning their back, things like that. But on public transport, I now notice people of all genders buried in their phones and not noticing that someone, for example, needs help with their pram or shopping trolley or needs a seat for some reason or needs to get through to get off the tram or the train. So there's no malice. They're just not noticing.
That's why their awareness is potentially connected with the whole rest of the world online, just not anymore to the world immediately or unmediated around them.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, it seems that this is not just a grumpy old person thing, as there is lots of international research backing up our perceptions.
This old person, grumpy old person, is having a sigh of relief.
So it's not our imagination, it is a thing. So at the pointy end of this are people driving unaware of what's happening on the road, which we all know about that. And there's a lot about this in the international research, and our police are monitoring it and cameraing it, etc. But I've been really taken by the research about what's often called distracted walking, which you call walking distractions, distracted walking, or distracted pedestrians, with more and more people on their phones while walking in public, which seems bananas to me, especially when they do it crossing roads, which they do, and railway tracks, and they do it, and they do it often.
That's right. And they often are wildly gesticulating to underline their words to someone on the other side of the world, probably.
Yeah, which you've obviously noticed, Jacques, yourself.
That's right.
Well, as I say, it's not our imaginations. There are lots of studies of distracted walking, which I've done a deep foray into, how often it happens, the forms it takes, and the accidents it causes. So evidently, people walking while on their phones are often completely oblivious to where their bodies are. We forget that we have, you know, bodies, really. We're not brains on stilts, really, but... So they're often oblivious to where their bodies are in space and to the situation they're in, even while they're moving around other people and cars, not to mention waterways and, as I said, railway lines. So how dangerous is that? How could we have even evolved as a species to be so unaware of our physical surroundings and physical danger? So how it just really shows how crazily out of touch we are with our surroundings. And it's certainly a long way away from smelling the roses.
Or from just experiencing through our own senses where we are right now and what's happening around us at this very moment.
Yeah, and as for frequency, there have been a lot of observational studies of people using mobile phones while crossing at intersections across the world. With many of these findings, many of these studies find that from about 9% of people to 20% are distracted by their phones, with later studies being at the higher end of that, towards 20%.
That's right, yeah.
And so these studies have been conducted in Germany, the US, Canada, China, Japan, Greece, and here in Australia. But really, locals can observe it, or listeners can observe it for themselves anytime on the streets of Melbourne.
That's right. People on their phones not looking where they are going, while listening to sounds coming from totally elsewhere. Some researchers point out how normal it has become to be immersed in a mobile phone while walking, and in general, how this has become so much worse with people being utterly dependent on phones for all sorts of daily activities.
Yeah, well, this is reflected in a range of distracted walking behaviours in the research, Jacques, like wearing headphones or buds, talking on a mobile, texting or looking down at the phone while walking, using a reading app while walking. I can imagine people reading physical books while walking, web searching and listening to music. And remember, we're largely talking about the behaviour in these studies of people crossing the road. So this is a quote from one study by Piazza and others. I think it's in 2022. Research suggests that conditions of distraction, including mobile device use, have a negative impact on gait and are linked to an increase in unsafe crossing behaviours. Examples of such unsafe crossing behaviours include failure to look both ways before crossing, failure to wait for traffic to stop before crossing, and not looking at traffic while crossing. So a lack of situational awareness has also been linked to pedestrian distraction, unquote. So lack of situational awareness, that's good phrasing. So in one demonstration of this, it was found that distracted pedestrians crossing a central university plaza failed to notice a brightly coloured clown riding a unicycle more often than their non-distracted peers. And there've been, I should say, there have been very sad cases of prams rolling into water, into river in Melbourne a few years back now, with babies drowning while parents are on the phone and oblivious, really oblivious, and then suddenly find that the pram and the baby is missing. But before we get too judgmental about that, we could just notice people pushing prams across busy roads all the time while locked onto their phone. So it's happening all the time. And no one batting an eyelid, really. And there have also been documented cases of people walking straight into trees and other objects, being hit by a train in another very sad case, and one of a boy dying after walking off a pier that is in the research, all while immersed in a mobile phone in some way. And all showing, I think, really the dysfunctional extent to which people habitually lose touch with their immediate surroundings and become like a walking extension of their phone, really.
So letting that sink in a little bit, let's listen to Wala is Life by Lara Bridge Patterson.
Life. Wala falls from sky, rain beginning of life, like our kinship ties. In Mother Earth's eyes, river banks flow wide, fingerlings swim wild, making Mother Moon smile. Hasn't rained in a while. Wala is blood. Wala gives flood. Wala is life. Gotta get law right. Limitless undercurrents. Pushing, pulling, pumping. Gliding, sliding, mulling. Trickles from the nipples of sacred springs. It's an animal thing. Made to give us wings. Kookaburra sings, and the kookaburra sings. In the gubba side, 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 in the gubba side.
Again on 3CR Community Radio and 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Before the break, we were talking about the ways in which people get distracted by concentrating on their mobile phones and using social media, thereby losing their sense of place and body awareness.
Yeah, where they are and what they're doing. And I should say, that I think distracted is a bit of a misnomer, though I suggested that before. When connection with the mobile phone is the main thing that they're doing, really, they're not just being distracted from another activity.
That's quite right, yeah. And to sum up so far, according to research, people on their mobiles are habitually and dangerously unaware of the situation they're moving in, and they're also less likely to notice something unexpected or unusual in their path or environment, or indeed as in the site they're in, which is what situation actually wants to indicate.
Yeah, and this has been found to affect their movement, or the way they move, their balance and their posture too, such as examples found in the research are walking slower and walking with a wider gait, which is obviously for balance. And, of course, they are taking a lot of risks, so it's not so surprising that there are lots of injuries related to what's often called distracted walking while using mobiles. So in one US study using a major database, it was estimated that over 1,500 non-fatal injuries occurred in 2010 because of pedestrian use of mobile phones in public spaces. And this increased from 2004 to 2010. Injuries included concussions, seizures, fractures, contusions, lacerations, dislocations, abrasions, sprains, strains, and pain in various parts of the body. And the study, of course, it's using a database that doesn't include death. And the database that refers to is the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System.
It's almost like an intake of a
emergency department. It does, it's probably related to that. Yeah. And in a more recent US study conducted in 2024, so very recent, texting and walking alone contributed to 11,000 daily injuries. So that's just texting. It's not even all use of the mobile phone. Texting and walking alone contributed to 11,000 daily injuries. Mm. And they're the ones that have been reported, right? Mm-hmm. Totaling over 4 million injuries annually, which is nuts. And we will put some references on the program page, but that's from a study by Maripu, 2024. So 4 million injuries annually from texting and walking in the US. Typically, distracted walkers were found to bump into things, fall over, and collide with approaching vehicles. Mm.
As well as being dangerous, we're interested in what this distracted walking, and more broadly, the lack of awareness of one's body in space and situation, what that means socially, and what this means for all of us as a society.
Yeah, which is what our segue into going into a little bit of social theory, I guess, really. Mm. So one of the central ways that society happens and is continued and reproduced is through us internalising and storing the way things are done, that's the best way to say it, and then acting them out in a fairly reflexive but sort of unreflective, unconscious way. Mm. We just automatically act certain ways because we've internalised them from society.
Yeah.
And this largely explains the failure of various revolutions in history, for example.
Which is a little bit of an off comparison, but you can't just take structural changes by bringing in a new top-down command and control regime when the people have internalised the ways things in society are done and then act it out or act them out without even thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
At least you can't bring in change that shares power and equity amongst the people solely by bringing in a new ruling government, even though that may, of course, help.
Well, yes, and it might. Mm. And another example of things not changing after revolutions is when you get rid of monarchies, but you turn your president into a king.
That's right.
So you had Napoleon and, of course, American presidents. So I was also reminded of this listening to a presentation of called Caste and Class in India Today from the recent Green Left Eco-Socialism Conference, when the presenter talked about the entrenchment of the caste system in India and how assumptions that the caste system would simply dissolve with communism or with capitalism were so misguided. People have internalised the caste system. They're brought up with it, and then they act it out in their own daily interactions.
Well,
it's obviously entrenched in different institutions.
That's right. And after this sort of broad kind of circumference of the problem, social reproduction happens at the political, economic level too, mostly ingrained into people's habits and ways of being, acting, and relating to one another, mediated through different institutions like local governments, schools, and the nuclear family, of course.
Yeah, and with society reproduced mm-hmm. in the social interactions of everyday life, mm. as you say, but in the context of structures of power too.
That's correct, not to mention the influential dominant discourses that direct our societies and increasingly the social world and the global social world. For example, that a certain caste in India is unclean, or that white colonizers bring a superior civilization, and so on. So just those big examples to show you, or to imagine how the ways in which we behave start to work in real life. So bringing us back to the connection with digital devices, social media are now always with us. Ubiquitously, totally everywhere, all the time, repeating such messages and discourses. And it works like under the skin, subcutaneously, really, entering our bodies, minds, and indeed our habits are at work in both influencing and distracting our everyday behavior, our decisions, and our interactions. Pierre Bourdieu, a French sociologist, he is helpful for making sense of this. For those not familiar with him, Pierre Bourdieu was a French social scientist combining ethnographic, anthropological and sociological insights. And he worked both, and he learned most of his initial skills in analysing and observing in North Africa and then France from the 1960s till his death in 2002. He was especially interested in how our daily lives are influenced by structures and systems commanded and controlled by outside factors. And he developed the notion of the habitus, which he describes as the commonness of everyday life actions and behaviours.
Yeah, and with habitus, I always say habitus, but it's habitus, sorry.
Yeah.
So with habitus being our, as you say, our routine ways of doing things, including like using our mobile phone.
That's right. Habitus refers to our day-to-day ways of doing things, including ways of acting and relating, forms of doing and thinking that have become routine and self-evidently the right way of doing things, giving our lives what feels like a stable structure, yeah. albeit one we are seemingly unconscious or aware of. So habitus describes that part of our daily lives that doesn't seem to pose any problem, like walking on the footpath or crossing the street immersed in your phone, and that only becomes problematic when something problematic then does happen.
Yeah, like being hit by a car.
Yeah, exactly right. So all the behaviours, they become problematic when reflecting or talking about them.
Well, because that's when you're conscious of
them. That's correct.
Whereas the point of habitus is you're
exactly.
not conscious.
Or when, as you said, when the accident happens. Mm-hmm. Already in 1977, Bourdieu insisted that, and it's an interesting phrase, that the truth of an interaction is never entirely contained in the interaction. That means, therefore, that it comes and it is constantly influencing us, as I said, under the skin, subcutaneously, particularly also in the case of mobile phones.
Mm.
So that means really that the habitus of people's immersion in their devices while navigating physical and social spaces competes with the older habitus of moving through the world safely, as we have learned it in our families and schools and all of that. Yeah,
you know, the older habitus of moving through the world safely, which I've just been given examples from the research
mm-hmm.
that people aren't doing while they're immersed on their phones.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like looking left and right while crossing the road.
That's correct. Yeah, so it's meaning, it's almost like the newly intruding habitus is associated with the mobile phone use. They compete with the carefulness, with the looking, as you said, the looking left and right before crossing the street, or noticing that there's other people on the footpath as well.
Yeah.
So We should probably conclude with a reference to the ban of certain media platforms for the under 16-year-olds, which is in a way an attempt, I think, to start changing the dependency on social media or to teach kids particularly to use the more aware, with more awareness and more care in the situations they are existing in.
Yeah, so for myself, I think the ban is a pretty crude tool, but though I am glad it's shining some light on the problem, and it's also one in your face for the tech giants.
That's right.
Self-regulation, okay, we've left self-regulation to you, you're not doing it. And so it's really shining a light on that. So that's a good thing. But, of course, it would be better to get tech giants to take responsibility in the first place.
That's right.
And they are capable of taking a lot more care than what they do. They've got the technology. Like with poker machines, they have the data that they can use, that they're using for their own profit, rather than the safety of users and out of and the safety of society as a whole, I guess. And most broadly, I guess I'm concerned about the corporate takeover of our minds through digital technology. They're taking over our minds and our consciousness.
That's right.
To the point where we wouldn't even have survived as a species if this was happening, if we were walking into danger all the time. So in talking about everyday mobile use today, we've also been talking about the reproduction of our world through what Pierre Bourdieu calls habitus, our routine way of doing things that we internalise and act out. With our mobile phones and digital devices locking us intimately into corporate control with the aim of increasing the fortunes of the mega-rich tech lords.
The trillionaires, as I call them.
Yeah. So we need to think seriously about resistance to this, and something we'll look more into in 2026. But really, listeners and all of us, and me and my friends and everyone, as an act of resistance, maybe turn off phones, lock them away while walking around in spaces in the public.
And first try for an hour or two, and then try for a day or two, and then probably try for a week or two.
And it's an act of, it is most definitely an act of political resistance if you can do that.
And try to rediscover the situations you're in and create more awareness about what your body is doing in those situations.
And remember, we are bodies with senses.
That's right.
So connect to the world around you for your own mental health.
That's correct. From both of us, though, have a safe summer break, dear listeners. Remember to look where you're going, to immerse yourself in the world around you, smell the roses, and enjoy warm interactions with the people around you, whether they be family, friends, fellow travellers, or those on the footpath just next to you.
And we'll be taking 4 weeks off with some repeats of programmes for the year going to air during that time. So take care till we return in the new year on the 23rd of January. And just remember, if you're tuning in on Christmas Day, there is a Tamil Christmas fundraiser, which is raising money for an education program for disadvantaged students. So that's on Christmas Day, 25th of December, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to send us any comments about today's program, you can email borders@borderlands.org.au.
Our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. And meanwhile, to finish our program today and to bring us into the next program, Jailbreak, please enjoy Milko Mana by King Stingray.
Yeah. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.